This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and you can find our podcast on iTunes. Today, we're talking about the intersection of science and education, and our next story is about research that's informing what a lot of kids really need in school. They need help coping with the emotional fallout from their lives. Research is learning a lot about the effect of something called toxic stress on learning. Toxic stress is a byproduct of living with constant adversity, poverty, violence, abuse, neglect. And in many big cities with very high rates of children living in these kinds of environments, the path to academic success can be especially steep. Reporter Kevin McCrory takes us inside a Philadelphia public school where educators are trying to implement new approaches against overwhelming odds.
School counselor Pam Turner Bunyan had been warned. This new incoming student was prone to very erratic behavior.
When he first came to us, he ran out of the building. The first day, very first day, instead of coming in, he ran.
She immediately took off, dashing out into the crime-prone streets that surround the school.
I found out that he was running, so I went and chased him down and coaxed him back in.
Turner Bunyan has 15 years under her belt as counselor at Feltonville Intermediate, a Philadelphia public school serving grades 3, 4, and 5, where most students come from low-income families. Years ago, in the same situation, she would have reacted differently, maybe gotten angry, and tried to lecture the student sternly about his misbehavior. But that was before she learned about trauma-informed care.
It's saying, what can we do to intentionally work with children and minimize the stress so that then children are able to think and function in school and not saying, oh, you're just an angry kid, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z, but saying, you're angry and I want to understand why, because I value you.
For Turner Bunyan, it's about empathy and finding strategies that work for each student.
And so for him, it was trying to figure out a safe spot that he could go to, that he could feel alone, and that he could escape. And one of the things that we found out really quickly, he and I did, was that he really likes to read.
But what works for one child doesn't for another. She has many students who live the depths of poverty, kids who've recently had close family members who've suffered sudden violent deaths, others who've been the ones to find the bodies of relatives who've committed suicide. Like the student who sought refuge in running, many of these students struggle to focus in the classroom, and their stressors can manifest in often unruly ways.
A kid will be throwing a desk and throwing a chair, and I will have to go up and get them. It's real crisis stuff.
But over time, Turner Bunyan has learned how to quickly de-escalate these situations, often by engaging students' senses.
I have students that come in that, for example, need hugs in the morning. So I give them hugs, you know, and you can see that totally, just that hug changes their ability to be able to function.
For others, the answer can be plastic.
I keep stock of empty water bottles and I have them. See, we play games to make them as small as you possibly can. And the kids will squeeze, and the sound and the physically breaking it apart helps to calm kids down.
Turner Bunyan learned about many of these practices through training provided by the school district, training that's guided by the work of one of the top researchers in the field, Drexel University's Sandra Bloom.
The same areas of the brain that we need for performing academically are the parts of the brain often that are most negatively impacted by toxic stress.
Bloom has been on the forefront of scholarship that delves into the effects of what are known as adverse childhood experiences, which can literally change the way the brain is wired.
Now, because of research that's been done, we understand that exposure to all different kinds of adversity in childhood can produce lots of health, mental health, and social problems in adulthood. And that may seem kind of obvious, but we haven't, until quite recently, had the science to back it up.
The Adverse Childhood Experiences, or ACEs, study was first performed in San Diego in 1998. It found a staggering correlation between the extent of experiences like abuse and neglect in childhood and rates of early death, substance abuse, and other crippling ailments later on. Overcoming the effects of trauma, which are often amplified and exacerbated by poverty, is no small feat, but Bloom says schools should be primed to take on this responsibility.
But to do that, we have to understand that education needs to be more than reading, writing, and arithmetic, that we really need to help kids develop socially and emotionally as well if we want them to have good academic performance.
But that will take rethinking the way we see misbehavior in school. Kids who live in a relentlessly stressful condition can become trapped in a state of fight or flight. That blocks cognitive ability and gives kids a hair trigger response system, so seemingly little things can blow up into disruptive incidents. But when teachers and counselors take the time to ease student stress, Bloom says over time it can be a major boon to overall health.
And those can then become basically therapeutic experiences for those kids.
But to really scale up that method will take a gigantic commitment to the importance of the issue and the resources to back it up. A very challenging prospect for a perpetually cash-strapped school district like Philadelphia or Baltimore or Los Angeles. At Feltonville Intermediate, school counselor Turner Bunyan knows those challenges all too well.
Oh, that's a definite big thing, you know, because I'm the only counselor here for 700 plus students.
She's been trying to implement these theories in the midst of dealing with other fires and limited support.
There's no roadmap here. We're kind of creating our own as we go along.
Just 2 miles away from Turner Bunyan's daily struggles, a school in another poverty-stricken neighborhood is facing much better odds at taking trauma-informed care to new levels.
So today we're going to talk about that student that was brought up last week when we were identifying students that were concerned about.
Rachel Hodes is the school psychologist at Cristo Rey, a private school for low-income students that opened 4 years ago, built from the ground up with trauma-informed care in mind.
We're fortunate that because we started it this way, that we've really set that precedence, that this is where we're going to focus.
Compared to the district schools, Cristo Rey is stacked with support staff. It has 3 full-time counselors and 3 other counseling interns for 450 students, and there's a whole other department that focuses on higher education placement. At Cristo Rey, faculty also get 1 full day a week to collaborate and strategize about how to meet the specific needs of individual students, like in this made-up training scenario.
She just started coming in later, so she would miss days, and then she would miss assignments and miss notes, and then
she did
from
say,
then on her grades started.
You know, you can share that something's going on at home that's affecting her at school.
But to implement this sort of approach in every public school would require a major new investment in counseling staff and teacher training. As costly as that would be, Sandra Bloom believes it would be well worth the investment.
To be crass, we're going to get our biggest bang for our buck. Right now, we might as well just put our national wealth on a bonfire and just set it alight, because we're wasting all this money later on health care and mental health care and social services and suffering that doesn't have an economic figure attached, that really we wouldn't have to if we just take care of kids.
Until that happens, Bloom says many students, especially those at under-resourced schools like Feltonville, are being set up for failure. For The Pulse, I'm Kevin McCrory.